Amen. If you make your way to your seats, so good to have you here at Calvary Gospel Church. I want to welcome everyone. Amen. If this is your first time, thank you so much for being our guest tonight. Amen. If you didn't have a chance, we would love for you to stop by our Welcome Center out there in the lobby, and we've got a small gift for you, just collecting a few points of information. If you're worshiping online, first time, thank you so much. We sure hope you enjoy yourself this evening. And again, you can follow that link on that you see on your screen right now, the bit.ly/connecttocg. We, again, a few points of information. We'd love to connect with you this week. Amen. We love to give here at Calvary Gospel. We got lots of options to give. You know, if you just want to come and guess point number 5 is you could just come and drop cases of cash at the altar. We'll do that too. It's not official, but we'll do that too. But otherwise, you see those 4 options up there. Lots of ways to give, whether you're old school snail mail or your new school church app. We would love for you to just worship the Lord with your giving. Try him out if you don't right now and see what the Lord will do and see the windows that he will open and pour out a blessing in your life. Amen. Amen. The few announcements this evening. This Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. Amen. We're going to celebrate our heritage, so to speak, from the book of Acts. And we want to encourage folks to experience Pentecost. And many of us have already experienced Pentecost. If you have never received the Holy Ghost, been baptized, man, this Sunday could be your day. And I want you to come to expect things from the Lord. But we also want others to experience Pentecost as well. I want someone to go to heaven with me. Amen. Some friends, some neighbors, some coworkers. Amen. Those we run into a Quick Trip. Amen. And so we want to encourage everyone to invite a guest. Save a seat for somebody. As you head out of the sanctuary right there straight ahead, there's some invitation cards for specifically for this Sunday, but also some generic ones as well that you can take for the future. Take them and seek after the Lord to whom he wants you to give those to in the next couple days. Amen. Amen. Then just a couple, one more item looking ahead, but it is a close deadline here. Family Camp, Wisconsin Family Camp, is taking place June 30th to July 5th this year up in Shawano on the campgrounds. If you're new around here, our organization, the United Pentecostal Church, we have a campground up north in the Shawano, Wisconsin area, and we take a week, and it sounds like we'll just do a bunch of camping and hang around fires. Well, we do that, but we also have services in the morning and the evening, and it's just a great time. Small print, we'll have these, so you probably can't see everything there. There are a few speakers based on what days, but we'll have these posted on the doors by this Sunday. There's a QR code, so as you head out, you can scan that. And for those who are staying on the campgrounds, registration is coming to a close pretty quickly. I think June 1st is the deadline. However, if you register after May 20th, which is Monday, so after Monday, there is a late fee. So if you want to stay on the grounds, there's campsites, there's RV sites, there's dorms, there's singles dorms or for a small family, go ahead and go there, register. And again, we'll have this up. So on Sunday, you can scan that QR code. Or if you go to, I think it's WisconsinUPCI.church or UPCIWisconsin.church, just look up UPCI Wisconsin, Google it. And hopefully you'll find it and register for the right camp, not some other organization. Amen. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Amen. If you would stand with me tonight. Amen. We've got some folks who are sick this evening. We want to pray for those who are sick and struggling with sickness, Brother Brunker and my wife, Sister Jessica. We also want to pray for Pastor and Sister Lois. They are up at camp for the pre-camp work week. They're up there prepping the campgrounds and getting everything ready and having some meetings. And then next week's our Wisconsin work week up at the campground, doing some construction, remodeling, and stuff like that. So if you have not ever done that, we encourage you to take a day off or something, head up there, talk to Pastor Roy. Pastor Jerry could also answer some questions on that next week as well, or for next week, but it's going to be a great time. But we want to pray for Pastor during this time. It's a heavy load, lots of responsibility, and tiring physically and mentally and all that jazz. So we want to uplift them in prayer. Anybody else got a situation, circumstance you want to indicate by a lifted hand tonight? Look around. Call out a brother or sister's name tonight as we pray. Lord, we thank you so much, God, for your goodness, Lord. You are so good to us, God. And we praise you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We thank you, God, for all that you've done in our lives and are doing and will do, Lord God. Safekeeping, Lord, the health, the life, Lord God, the resurrection, the deliverance that we've seen in our lives. We've experienced Pentecost, so many of us. And I pray, God, Lord, we continue to see that in our lives. You know, the situations indicated by a lifted hand. Those who are at home, God, who have a need, God, Lord, maybe sick tonight, God, under the weather. We pray for Pastor Jessica, Sister Fiona, Lord God. We pray for Brother Brunker, God, tonight. We pray, Lord, for those who, Lord God, maybe facing marital issues or, Lord Jesus, Lord, financial struggles, Lord God, or whatever it may be, God, I pray you minister. Touch Pastor today and Sister Lois, God. I pray uplift them with strength, physical strength, mental strength. Lord God, I pray emotional strength, Lord, over the next couple weeks, God, that you would bless them and touch them as they are serving your kingdom, Lord God, at the campground, Lord, I pray. Touch all those who will be going up and working next week, God. Keep us safe, Lord. Bless, Lord God, I pray, Lord. Anoint the preaching of your word tonight, Lord God, I pray. Minister to our hearts and minds. Speak to us and challenge us, Lord. In Jesus' name, let's give them a hand clap of praise as we go into worship.
Your good. Praise God. Hallelujah. What a beautiful presence of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, we give you thanks for your presence. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I don't know if we have any guests here tonight, but if we do, we want to welcome you. This is an apostolic church. Amen. Hallelujah. That means we like to get with it a little bit, right? Praise God. You might see something a little crazy going on in here. Hallelujah. But we're doing it for the Lord. Praise God. As the song says, you don't know like I know. Hallelujah. What he has done for me. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. I just want to give a quick shout out to a restoration team. My name is Rick Solberg, pastor of Restoration Church in Waterloo, Wisconsin. Woo-woo. And I serve as pastor with an awesome team. I have the Hoovers, Tim and Kim, and I have Roman and Ryan Rivas, Roman George. I don't see him right now, but he was here. I know he is. I was just telling his mom, I was really impressed. You know, we take turns doing our Tuesday night Bible study, and when it was Roman's turn, he just laid it down. I was like, all right, okay, you know. So, girls, if he doesn't take it, you know, you might want to, you know, just saying, he's a good man. I just want to give a quick shout-out to my wife. A lot of times I blow past my wife. It's not on purpose, but I don't want her to ever think I take her for granted. The Bible says that God took a rib, not from Adam's foot, not from his head, but it was from his side. Amen. It is God's will that we walk together, side by side, with our helpmate. Amen. Praise God. And as I walk in ministry, I'm so glad to serve God with my wife. And she is also my compass and helps me to stay on track. Because there's a whole hot mess up here. And I thank God for my family. Here today with me is Madison and Grant. And I just want to give thanks to Pastor Roy for his investing and for each one of you for investing in our Restoration Church. Thank you. Your giving has helped provide, and I believe that God is going to return that. Praise God. And I'm thankful for that. So thank you so much. Praise God. Well, before you're seated, I just want to go over the word. Praise God. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You see me doing a lot of juking, jiving, and dancing up here. I'm just, Chapter 15, verse 51. The Bible says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." I like the way that sounds. How many of you like the way that sounds? You feel, you know, this body, the older I get, the more, Praise God, I'm ready for a new one. "And we shall be changed." Hallelujah. "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory.'" Come on, hallelujah. "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God," hallelujah, "thanks be to God," praise God, "which giveth us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Praise God. And as you're seated, please turn to your neighbor and tell him how glad you are to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Tonight, with the help of the Lord, I would like to speak to you about the subject of overcoming death. And shout out to Kate Rivas for getting that on the screen. I just gave her my scriptures. I was ready. I was going to have it all ready for her. But, you know, I walked out the door. She came up, "Brother Solberg," she's so sweet, "Brother Solberg, do you have any scriptures?" I was like, Praise God. Overcoming death. Now, before we delve into our topic, we must first recognize that we as a church are up against. We must identify our greatest enemy. And in doing that, we can hit on the enemy's greatest weakness. It's important before you go into battle that you need to know your enemy and you need to know his strengths and his weaknesses. Amen? Praise God. Exposing the weaknesses of our enemy is critical in defeating our enemy and giving us victory. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5 and 8, be sober, not Solberg, be vigilant, somebody thought it, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Now let me ask you a question, young people. How does a lion choose his target? What's he going to look for, Grant? That's right. That's good. They have a process. When a lion hunts, they have a strategy. They look for the weak and the defenseless. Come on. Hallelujah. They're looking for the stragglers, the ones that are drifting away from the pack. Hallelujah. Let me make this plain to you right now. The devil is looking for the ones that are not passionate. They're not on fire for God anymore. The one who's drifted away from their walk with God. Come on. Their obedience to God is lacking. Their fire is dying out. And they're easy pickings. As a roaring lion, the Bible says, he walks about. He's looking for some apostolic fast food, if I can say it. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, there I go. I don't know what that is, but the Bible says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. He said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, and ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And I've often looked at the scripture, and you see that the enemy has chosen the serpent in the garden. Have you ever asked yourself why? Why would the enemy choose a serpent? Why wouldn't he pick an enemy or pick something more scary, like intimidating, like a bear or a tiger? Why would he choose a serpent? The Bible says in Luke chapter 10, verse 18, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning falling from heaven. And he follows up with, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. So here's a correlation. You have Satan, and then you have scorpions and serpents. And I was thinking, wow, that's really peculiar, until you really start to think about it. Snakes and scorpions are both venomous creatures, amen? That means that when they go to attack their prey, they inject poison into them. And that is a perfect description of the enemy, because he wants to come into your home. He wants to poison us. He wants to poison your kids. He wants to poison your homes. He wants to poison your finances. He wants to poison your prayer life. He wants to poison your screen time. Anything that he can do strategically to get in, to get a foothold on you. He wants to poison your worship in your minds. And he wants to sever your relationship with God. And when it's injected, poison does one thing. It first paralyzes you. It renders you where you don't feel all of a sudden. So when you come into the presence of God, you come into a Holy Ghost-filled church service, and you lift your hands, and all of a sudden you're just not feeling it like you should be. And then poison, when it's done, it kills. The Bible says in James 1 and 15, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. But we can't sit here and let ourselves worry about the devil, because the Bible tells us that he was already defeated. Isaiah 14 and 12 says, I like this, how art thou fallen? How are you so dumb, devil? Come on. That you fell from heaven. Reminds me of that YouTube video, you so dumb. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but the devil, he's literally dumb. How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. Now, let me tell you something. There's only room for one on the throne. Come on. Hallelujah. Not two, not three, but one. The Bible says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart." Right, Roman? All thy mind, all thy strength. Praise God. Roman, you missed it. I was just giving you a shout out earlier and you weren't here. I'm telling you, man. Praise God. And in your life, you are a temple. The Bible says that we are the temple of the Lord. Amen. And the temple of the Lord, there's not room for other gods also. The Bible says that God is a jealous God. He doesn't want you messing around with other stuff in your life. He doesn't want idols. He is a holy God. There's not room inside of you for anything else. And Lucifer said, "I will ascend above the heavens, the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High." Yet, the Bible says, "Thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." Not even a throne in hell. He's just going to be cast to the side. Just like all the other trash down there. He's just going to be cast away. Ushers, if you could get ready. Thank you. Now what's Brother Stolberg up to? And the Bible says, "And they that see," talking about the devil, "see this man shall consider," "they that see shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth tremble and did shake the kingdoms and made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof and opened not the house of his prisoners?" We're all going to look upon the enemy and say, "This is the troublemaker? This is the one that's been causing all the grief? Are you kidding me?" Sometimes we give him way too much credit, folks. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Revelation 20, verse 14, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." So not only is he going into hell, but then it's going to be cast into the lake of fire. So he's done with. But can I get real with you for a minute? I did say we must identify our greatest enemy. And the devil, well, he's just not it. There's an enemy more deceitful, more controlling, and with more potential to be wicked and damaging to your soul. And tonight I want to shed some light on this enemy. Ushers, come on and bring that in. I brought in here a cage. And if I could switch over to my kid's rageous voice. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages, what's in the cage? Oh, man. You got the right way? Good job. Thank you. Give him a hand. Also single, ladies. I'm trying, guys. In this cage, I have your greatest enemy right here. All right? I'm not talking about your beautiful face, because it is beautiful, and God loves each and every one of you. God created you fearfully and wonderfully, you were created, but I'm talking about your flesh. I'm talking about the real enemy, come on, that we all have to put into submission. The Bible says that we were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. We have a rotten, stinking problem that if we do not keep under submission through prayer and through fasting and through worship, and I'm not talking about those patty cake prayers, come on. I'm not talking about thank you, Jesus, for this food, and then you're ready to eat. No, we got to do it from our heart. This is a relationship. He wants to have a relationship with you. Praise God. He loves you and he has great things for you. But he needs you to to be in relationship with him. Praise God. Praise God. God has special plans for you. He doesn't want you to just sit there and check off those little boxes. Oh, I spent my time in prayer. I quick threw in some minutes. I'm talking about mountain-moving prayer. Come on. Where we spend time ascending into the mountaintop with God. And when we come back to reality, when we step out of our prayer closets, the Bible says that the people feared to look upon Moses when he came out of the presence of God because he was literally glowing. He was literally changed. Hallelujah. The Bible says that when Jacob was in the presence of God and he refused to leave the presence of God until he was changed. And God wants you to have that faith. He wants you to step up to him and say, God, I'm going to get into your presence. I'm going to push aside all this other stuff. As much as I like playing games, you know, I can't let that be a priority in my life. As much as I love my family, I can't make them number one. God is number one, then family. Amen? Praise God. We have to push back those distractions. We have to wrestle past our flesh, our past mistakes. He's there and he's waiting. And God wants to change you. Praise God. The Bible says in Romans 7 and 15, talking about the flesh. I'm going to have to read this slow because I'm Lex Disick and praise God. This is a confusing, but the point is there. There's some good meat here. The Bible says, for that which I do, I allow not. That which I want to do, I'm not doing it. But that which I would do, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. So that junk that you don't like doing is saying that he's doing it. This is Paul. Not just anybody, but this is Paul saying this. How many of you can relate with it? The Bible says in Proverbs 26 and 11 says, as a dog returneth to his vomit. Now, that's pretty real. That's pretty disgusting. That dog literally can't help himself. When they throw up, they literally go and they can't help but come back. And this is a disgusting picture that God is painting for us. That like a dog returning to his vomit, when you are held captive by your sin, you literally become a slave to it. But he goes on to say, but what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. You literally relinquish control when you give yourself over to sin. You literally go back to the vomit. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, the enemy. Come on. It wasn't the enemy. It wasn't originally the enemy, should I say that. In the Garden of Eden, the Bible says that God made Adam, he made Eve, and they were perfect in the garden. And according to God's plan, that was how he created it to be. But literally, when Adam and Eve took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they were corrupted. It was as if they downloaded a computer virus in their flesh. And the virus is drawn to sin. And it goes on, Paul says, for to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would not do, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. It's literally like a remote control car, and you're handing the control over to sin. It's controlling you. You're literally relinquishing that control. The Bible says, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, talking about the body, warring against the law of my mind, and bringeth me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. And that's where he goes on to say, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. There was a popular quote by the Ravi Zacharias. I don't know if you know him, but it says, sin will take you further than you wanted to go. It will keep you longer than you wanted to stay, and it will cost you more than you ever wanted to pay. Now, I did title this Overcoming Death, so I'm not going to leave you hanging without a solution. I'm not going to send you home tonight without any hope. We're sitting here, we have this vicious flesh that's trying to pull us away from God. And the Bible says in Proverbs 24:16, for a just man falleth seven times, and he riseth up again. We're not talking about people in the world. We're talking about, these are people going through it, walking the walk, amen. We're trying to live for God, but you know what? Sometimes we fall down. Sometimes that flesh gets the best of us. At 8 in the morning and you're on the Beltline and somebody cuts you off and your blood pressure goes pop. It's hard. When you sit there and you look around you and you turn on the YouTube or TV or whatever you're getting your news from and you see the corruption of the world and everything that you believe in is being challenged, it's hard. It's hard. When the righteous man falleth seven times and he riseth up, that's good news. Amen? God's not giving up on us. Throughout the Old Testament, the Bible paints a picture of God's people turning away from him. They literally would, you could almost put it in a pattern like a wave. They literally would climb up and they would come to the Lord. They would have a relationship with him. Things would be great. And then they'd fall back down. And they would up and down throughout the Old Testament. And God would literally bring about something that would, in their lives, change the direction so that they would turn back to him. Amen? Sounds like a shepherd. God is loving, amen? He is a loving God, but he is also holy. And he will not allow unholy people into his holy presence. He will not allow his holy heaven to be corrupted by unholy people. So how do you drive back the darkness? You got to shed some light on it, amen? Your adversary wants you to keep that stronghold in your life. I'm talking about real strongholds. I'm talking about the things that we struggle with. The things that we think sometimes you're like, oh, I got this. Maybe you don't take it to the altar. Maybe you've been to the altar 100 times. And you know, it's just a stronghold. That's what it is. Something that literally is holding you back from your potential in God. And just when you think that you've overcome that thing, your flesh starts yanking on that chain a little bit, pulls you right back down. Okay, maybe I don't have this. You know what I mean? Literally, who's the boss in this scenario? But Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life, praise God. That's good news. Hallelujah. We got to turn to the light and shed the light on our sin, on our problems. And once you shed some light on that sin, you literally are taking away its power of deception. Praise God. And brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you, if you have a brother or a sister who comes to you and they're trying to shed some light on a problem that they have, let me be real with you. The Bible says that, you know, I got ahead of myself, but if they're literally trying to expose their weakness, the Bible says that if we sit there and we judge them and we condemn them behind their back, It says in Luke chapter 17, verse 2, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than he should offend one of these little ones. Now, the Bible says that when we repent of our sins, when we're baptized in his name, when we're filled with his spirit, we are literally adopted into his family. We become the children of God. And hallelujah, God cares for his children. Hallelujah, God cares for you. He cares so much that he died on Calvary's cross for you. Praise God. And he's saying here that if you were to offend one of my kids, come on, every parent should be with me on this. It would be better for you to have a millstone tied around your neck and for you to be cast into the sea. And if our musicians could start making their way up here, just give me a minute. I'm getting there. Praise God. I have some good news for you, though. If you're ready for some change in your life, the Bible tells of a story in the book of Ezekiel, where God, through a vision, takes Ezekiel to a valley filled with bones. If you could stand. And the Bible says in Ezekiel 37 and verse 2, and the Spirit of the Lord caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. Now, my translation of the scripture is that there was absolutely no life in the bones, very dry. That's what that means. It wasn't like we stumbled upon a fresh crime scene here where, no, these bones have been dead for a long time. They quit praying, they drifted away, they lost their passion, and they couldn't walk with God anymore. And if they come to church, they can't feel his presence. And here's the other thing. The Bible says that they weren't alone. There was many bones in there. It wasn't just one by himself hiding. But brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you, if you're struggling, we're all struggling. This is flesh that we all got to carry, and we got to submit it before the Lord. And the Bible says that there was very many bones in the open valley. And he, God, said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones. Hallelujah. If you want victory in your situation, if you want victory over your life, you got to open your mouth and you have to speak some life. Amen. You got to proclaim some things. Hallelujah. The Bible says, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you and ye shall live. Hallelujah. Praise God. Someone should be getting excited right here. And I will lay sinew unto you, and I will bring flesh upon you and cover you with skin, and I will put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Praise God. God is into the restoration business. You think you've gone too far, but there's no hope for you, but God loves you. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you that God wants to bring you back to a relationship with him. Hallelujah. And it goes on to say, so I prophesied, this is Ezekiel, and as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, praise God, and they stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army, praise God. We are called to reach the highways, the heavens. We're called to reach the city around us. God is wanting to heal hurting people, praise God. And then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, I say, our bones are dried. This is God's people. Our bones are dried and our hope is lost. And we are cut off from our parts. Therefore prophesy, speak life, and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves, praise God. Hallelujah. And cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Praise God. The grave represents a dead place. The bones are dead and without life. But God is in the restoration business. He wants to heal you. He wants to deliver you. Praise God. This altar area is open right now if you want to come. But I want to encourage you, don't let your brother come up here alone. I would that we would all come up here, praise God, that you would find somebody to pray with, hallelujah. There's somebody around you, that, praise God, let God lead you, altar team, hallelujah. Hurting, we need you, Jesus. We're not promised tomorrow. Don't let your flesh deceive you, young people. And don't think for yourself that you're going to go home and find a quiet place and repent on your own. But no, God wants, he's providing an opportunity tonight, praise God. Step out of the darkness. Step into the light, praise God. Hallelujah. He's worthy, praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, you're worthy, God. You're worthy, God.
Mouth. When I open up my mouth, you pour out, breaking out. I have the authority. You crown me with confidence. I am seated.
In the heavens.
our champion. Amen. Amen. And with him, we can overcome. Amen. I want to just remind you this Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. Please grab some cards on your way out. We have plenty there. Invite somebody. Pray about it over the next few days. Invite someone, and we will see you on Sunday. If you're praying, please don't stop. If you need to get a hold of the Lord a little more, in Jesus' name.